The gospel text, which we're going to spend some time on, is certainly a teaching on prayer, isn't it? We know who we're talking to. We know he'll hear us. And so, but this prophecy has many things about it that I thought we should look at. This is, now we're in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, which is restoration theme throughout the whole chapter. What's the famous text in Jeremiah 31? Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, I'll make a new covenant. Not like the old one. This one, I'm going to write it in their heart. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the new covenant. So anyway, here, I will be the God of all the tribes of Israel. Remember, this is a split nation. 10 tribes went off under Jeroboam and made their own kingdom. And 2 stayed, Judah and Benjamin. And they've been like this for quite a while. You know, maybe 300 or 400 years now, 200 or 300 years. And here's the promise. I'm going to put you back together. Now think of the Protestants when you hear this, you see. I'll be the God of all the tribes of Israel. And they shall be my people. We're still waiting for that. That's a prophecy. The word of the Lord does never fall useless. We're waiting for that. It is fulfilled in heaven, right? The lost tribes, the 10 tribes that were conquered in the 8th century and just were put into exile, and they've never been kind of found ever since. They're all over the place. Schwartz and all these names, you know. They're in Ireland, they're in France. Where are they? In heaven, I saw this vast crowd, right? Nobody could count. From the tribe of Benjamin, 144,000. From the tribe of Asher, 144,000. From the tribe of Gad, they're all there. They've been gathered. But we're waiting for it here on earth. These are prophecies. The people that escape the sword have found favor in the desert. As Israel comes forward to be given his rest, the Lord appears to him from afar. So who's taking the initiative? The Lord. You see, with an age-old love, I have loved you. So I have kept my mercy towards you. Again, I will restore you, and you shall be rebuilt. O Virgin Israel, we're still waiting for that. When are they going to come back? Be part of the people of God under Jesus, their brother. You see? And you'll come back carrying your festive tambourines. You'll go forth dancing. You'll plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria. Now, the southerners go plant vineyards on northern territory. That's peace, right? And those who plant them shall enjoy the fruits. Yes, a day will come when the watchman will call out on Mount Ephraim. Where is Mount Ephraim? It's in the north, right? Okay, rise up. Let us go to Zion. Where's Zion? In the south. So all the north is being invited to go back and worship in the south, where the temple is. You see? For thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob. Exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Part of that happened at the return from exile, but we're still waiting for the Jewish people to come. Right? There's a text in Isaiah 51:3 about songs of gladness, and St. Thomas, I don't know why, it really sticks in his mind, and he often quotes it saying, this hasn't happened yet. It's amazing. Okay, now I don't have a lot of time for the, but I'll do my best. So who is this lady? She's a non-Jew. She's a Canaanite, pagan. But she's heard about Jesus and she knows what to call him, right? Lord, Kyrie, Son of David, Messiah. Who's Messiah? The Jew's Messiah, but he'll help me. I can relive some of this having lived there, you know, where these things are still in everybody's memory. My daughter is tormented by a demon. He never said a word. Now, why didn't he say a word? What's going on here? You know, he wants more from her. You see? His disciples came, and they're nice guys, but Martin, get rid of her, please. You know? She's driving us nuts. And our Lord said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That'd be the northern kingdom, right? The house of Israel. Not to this Canaanite who's up here by Tyre and Sidon, up there in Lebanon, you know? But the woman came and did him homage, saying, Lord, help me. And then look what he says to her. It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Call a human being a dog in that culture? He's really hard on her. She doesn't care. She loves her daughter, and she's after a healing for her daughter. You can call me anything you want. Just heal my daughter. And so, please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of the... Yeah, you're the masters. We're the dogs, you know. Throw us something. Jesus said to her what? Oh, woman, great is your faith. You went right through all the problems I caused you to touch my heart. That's prayer. That's prayer. I know you hear me. I know you're going to answer somehow. Nobody comes to you that you turn them away. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed from that hour. There are two pagans, models of prayer, the centurion and this woman. And in neither case does he go there. Yet, you see, that's for the Pentecost time. But he heals her, this girl. Prayer. So if you think you're being rebuffed, blessed are you. That means the Lord is putting you to the test. Because he loves you. He wants a real answer from you. Not, oh Lord, whoever you are, will you fix this? That's no prayer. You've got to be close to Jesus. And beg him, bother him. Trust him enough to say, well, he's going to get mad if I bother him. No, he won't. He wants contact with you. It's like if you were holding an ice cream cone. And a little kid was running up, you see, takes the cone, turns around and runs away. So instead of that, you hold it for a while and the kid has to look up at you. There's a somebody giving me this cone. And then, isn't that what the Lord does with us? We look upon him as an infinite aspirin, solver of all problems. He says, no, I'm your God. More important than anything I can give you is myself. That's what I want to give you.